So how many have a testimony? Not everybody thinks they have a testimony, Miss Connie. Everybody has a story, but a story of how they've put to use the Word of God. So we have a testimony today that we want to have come up here and share with you. Julie, come on up. This is Julie Balducci. And she has a testimony of some of the things that God has done for her. So I'd like you to just share that with us.
Thank you so much.
Come on up here.
If I can, just open up in prayer real quick.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, you're so welcomed here. And you're so good. There's nothing that we have done to deserve your goodness, your kindness, and your love and affection towards us. But we receive it. And we thank you for it, and we give you honor and praise for who you are, the great I am. You are always faithful and always good and always on time.
Thank you, Lord.
So we just give you honor and praise here today, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
So in my life, I never got pregnant. I never conceived. I've never miscarried. But I never worried about it either. I just never had that longing to be like, that's my destiny to conceive a child. But in 2017, 16 timeframe, I developed a cyst on my ovary and it was painful. But being the stubborn woman that I was then, I just dealt with the pain until finally I was like, I better go get this checked out. It's been a while. Well, that led to me getting going to a doctor where I had dye injected into my ovaries, and it showed that my fallopian tubes were severed, just like a very, just severed, a little line across them. All the ink came out. So then at that point, I really knew I was barren. I could have had a surgery, $13,000 to have the cyst removed, but I was cash pay, so I didn't have it. So thank you, Jesus, I didn't have the money. So I just let it go, and I didn't do anything about it. Fast forward, I told my mom, Mom, I'm barren, and she's like, that can't be. I had a dream that you had this most beautiful baby boy. Like, it was so real. And this is before we really had validation in dreams and visions and how the Holy Spirit can just communicate to you in that way. And I was like, well, doctor says, I saw it, ink came out. So 2019, Liz and I were on this beautiful journey of with the Lord to move to Warner Robins and start a ministry, a women's recovery ministry, but we didn't have all those details just yet. But we were together and we were praying, like, Lord, how do you pray the prayers of a righteous man that availeth much? How do you pray that? How do you go after that? And it was late and I was in my bed and I was going to send her scripture that I just found and about ask me anything, you know, and I'll do it. And so before I sent out that text, I heard just within me, do you want a child? And I'm like, what? Are you talking about Jesus? You know, and he came to me two more times, and I just started weeping, and I'm like, Father, you know I do. And so that was it. The next day, Liz and I have been friends for 30 years. This is, again, before we knew words of knowledge. But Liz, that morning, I'm like, Liz, I think the Lord's added to my purpose. And she's like, oh, my goodness, the Lord's promised you a baby. And I'm like, again, I know we're BFFs and sisters, but that's crazy. So with that, just right there, I didn't think about it, but how the Lord looks into the depths of our hearts and our longings, and he sees that, even though we won't allow ourselves to see that. I wouldn't allow myself to go to that place. Because I told the Lord, I didn't know I could ask for that, Lord. I didn't know I could ask for me to be healed and to have a child. So that was all Jesus. So we went up. I went up to Tennessee from Texas to see Liz. And just to shorten the testimony of that part of it, there was a lady who anointed both of us, and we were little Baptist girls at the time, and we didn't understand about that, but we were like, we want whatever you have for us, Jesus. And so that night, she prayed over my womb, and her name's Addie, just to give her praise, because I know the Lord uses her for that ministry of praying over women who are barren. And I felt warmth on my side, so I believed that I was healed. And so I just went along life. So that was 2019. Again, this past November, and I'm telling people that I'm healed. I'm telling people about my son, Elijah, because, again, the Lord came to me and said, what do you want? And I'm like, what? Lord, just a healthy baby. That's fine. What do you want? And, again, he came to me three times. And I said, well, every barren woman in the Bible always asks for a son. So, Lord, I would like a son. And that was it. And so, again, this we've learned how to two-way journal with the Lord, and it's just writing down our conversation with him, and it's very beautiful. Well, during my two-way conversation this past November, the Lord's like, I want you to go get tested again. You have fear that I haven't really healed you, and I want to prove to you I really have healed you. I said, yes, sir. So I called the... It did take me 3 days. I called the OBGYN, and the next day they had an appointment. Like, that doesn't happen, you know. So I got in, and she's like, all right, we're going to sign you up for these tests. Again, my monthly cycle was right on time. The doctor of having an appointment for getting another sonogram was right on time. Everything just lined up. And so I definitely knew that was from the Lord. And so the day came for me to have the test again, put the dye into my system. And I had time to talk to the two women technicians about what the Lord had done and the promise that he gave me, because everything that the Lord is going to do for us comes with a promise. And so he had given me very quickly when I asked him, like, he even interrupted my question. He's like, Luke 1:45. He's like, you know, you are blessed because you believed everything the Lord has told you. And so I went and I was able to tell these two technicians about the whole journey. The radiologist was a little late, so I got to tell him the whole span of everything. And so he came in, did his thing, and he's like, oh, your fallopian tubes are fine. I was like, so I looked at the one, her name was Leslie, I said, so you're saying they're healed? And she's like, yes. I'm like, oh. So I just hugged her. And how that's increased my faith and our ministry's faith and our church's faith, the fact that, you know, it is now not just that I'm believing in it, it is actually proven medically that the Lord has healed me. And even my OBGYN was like, well, how were they severed in the first place? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, and then Liz and I were talking about it. That cyst that brought me to the doctor, because the Lord knew I was so stubborn, he had to put a pain in my body, because I never would have checked it out myself. I just would have been like, oh, well, you know, it's gone. And that's not, I didn't take medicine for it. She was going to remove it. I was going to have a partial hysterectomy to get it gone, because she's like, it's just going to grow. Longer you go, the bigger it's going to get. But I realized, after that doctor's appointment, the first one in 2017, I never had a pain again. So it's just how the Lord, you know, used that to get me where I need it so I can have this testimony in the first place. And so, you know, to finish that up, you know, we're pressing in to our son Elijah being born, my husband Mike and I, and so we're excited about that day. So when I am able to say, I'm pregnant, I will definitely let everyone know. I'm expecting that soon. We have what we call date night with the Holy Spirit with one of our beautiful friends Heather, and one of the ladies had a word of knowledge. She's like, when we were in our group prayer, she's like, Julia, she's like, I felt a baby moving. And she's like, it was like it kicked and then rolled. And she's like, I believe, she's like, I can feel the spirit of that baby here. So I know he's coming soon, and I just give God all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for searching into my heart and giving me something I didn't even know I could ask for. So thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
God is good all the time. So now I'll ask you guys again, who has a testimony? Who of you have had an issue in your life, not just your story of how you became a Christian, but where there was something you had to really believe God for, and then you went after it and you received the end of your faith? How many have a testimony of that? A lot less hands now. Okay, so this would be a good thing to talk about, I think, today. Huh? This will be a real good thing to talk about today. So get your Bibles out. We're going to see Mary up there with the fastest fingers in the East. We're not in the West, are we? In the East up there with the... I haven't given her any scriptures. So this is going to be fun. So let me just talk to you for a minute. By a show of hands, how many of you believe that you are actually allowed to ask God for what you want? Okay. Now, are you allowed to ask him for whatever you want, or are there guidelines? You can just shout out what you think. His will. Anything else? Well, I'll just let you know. You're allowed to believe for anything that God has provided by grace for us. Whatever his grace did by giving us the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that lines up with God's character, we're allowed to have that, whatever it is. And he will not resist us. He will not resist us. What am I saying here? I'm saying that whatever you need from God, you can have it. Here's what I have seen in a lot of circumstances, though. There is something in our hearts or in our minds that blocks us genuinely believing that, because our history of asking has not borne fruit. How many of you have experienced that? And that lingers in a lot of people. And I would say it lingers in all of us in different areas of our experiences in receiving from God. Can you say amen to that? Is that true for you also? So let's look at a couple of things. Just using Julie's testimony, she didn't even know she was able to ask for such a thing. It wasn't on her radar to do so. Are you with me? Some of the things God's willing to give to us and to provide for us, we don't even know to ask for it. But it's still available. Yes or no? Anything that anyone can rightfully ask God for and receive, you can rightfully ask God for and receive. If anyone else on the planet is allowed to do it according to God's will and character, then so are you. Can you receive that? Okay. So then it's going to be a matter of removing the doubt and unbelief. Are you with me still? That is what resists us. Our past experiences of how we've received from God, and the people have, okay, help me, Holy Spirit. I have watched people die, physically die before my face, believing God to do something for them. And they were convinced they were in all righteousness believing God. And I knew they weren't. But they were convinced that they were. Because a switch did not go on that needed to go on in their hearts. And I watched it. And you can't just go to somebody that's on their deathbed and go, well, you're not believing God. You know, you just can't do that. Each person is allowed to go after the things of God at their own pace and with their own passion or lack thereof. We all have that right. We can receive as much from God as we're willing to go after and believe Him for. I put that word go after in there. And the reason I'm saying go after is because so many times we are really expecting God to drop it in our lap. We are in all integrity asking. We are in all belief in alignment with what God has asked us to do. But there's something back there in the reserved background that is waiting for God to do it. Am I the only one in the room that has experienced that? Some people shake their head. Yes, you are. No. I think a lot of us have. So I want to bring to your attention a few examples in the Bible that show a pattern. And in that pattern, it gives us permission to follow after that same pattern. Are you with me? So, if you remember the Bible, I'll kind of touch on some of these. I don't want to go in great depth of the scriptures, but I do want to touch on these three stories. So, you guys know the story of the woman with the issue of blood, who for 12 years had her cycle, and it just would not dry up and stop. You guys know that story, how she honestly spent everything she had. She had terrific, horrific public ridicule. She had so many restrictions on how she was allowed to be in society, distanced from everybody, she was literally toxic and polluted. You know, remember when AIDS first came out? Man, everybody was freaked. You didn't know how close you can get to anybody because you didn't know how contagious it was or if it'd get on you, right? And there was no remedy in the natural realm at the beginning of when AIDS started becoming something we knew about. Or how about remember when anthrax was in the mail? Remember that? You were afraid to open your mail. You didn't know if there was any white powder on anything, and it was like a big deal. You know, it's like, dang, these things are going on in the world around us. Well, she had these bondages that she could not do so many things that ordinary people do. So she had to what? Look at this now. Figure out a way to get it done. She heard stories that anyone who touched Jesus would get healed. She heard stories about it. It was going around the town. I can show you verses where it was going around the town that people were talking about this stuff. And let me tell you, you start really operating in miracles, I mean really start operating in miracles, people will tell other people and they will come if you start really operating in that realm. So she knew that if people could touch him, she could receive her healing. Guess what? She actually believed that. She actually believed with no resistance of any kind that if she could get there and touch him, she could get her healing. And this thing has been plaguing her for so many years. She was exasperated at the very least. How many of you have had something you've been fighting with for a very, very long time? Are you still willing to live with it, or do you have to find a way out? She had to find a way out, and when she heard of a way out, she went after it. At great expense, she could be killed, at the very least an outcast, never to be able to return to her city, at the very least. So she snuck in there through the entire crowd and found a way to just touch his piece of clothing. Yes? You guys know the story, right? So what she did was she said in her heart, if only I could touch a piece of his clothing, I can be healed. Because she heard it, that it happened for other people, and she believed if she can do the same thing, she could have that result. Are you with me? So she said in her heart, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. And then what she did after that was she did something. She went into the crowd in a very fearful place where great harm could come to her. And she scooted in through that crowd. And there were so many people around Jesus bumping into him, pressing up against him. It was a thick crowd. It wasn't just meandering down the streets of Mardi Gras. It was packed. It was packed. And she squeezed in through everybody, knowing that every single person she touched could come against her legally. And she snuck in there and she did it. No matter what anybody else said or thought or what the rules were or what public opinion was, she figured out a way to get what she needed, and she touched it. Are you with me? Instantly, what happened? She received what she believed. She really knew that if she could do this, it would work, and she did it. And when she did it, she received. And then what happened? Instantly, she felt it dry up inside of her. Well, on the other side of the coin, what happened? Jesus literally felt power go out of him. And she received it. Is there ever a time that power will not go out of Jesus? I'm talking about the one Jesus you and I have, the one that's in the Spirit right now by the Holy Spirit. No. Even when he, in Luke chapter 5, when he's talking and he's in the room and all the Pharisees are there and Sadducees were there, Pastor Trey's taught about this before, and they were there listening to Jesus, it says, and the power of God was there to heal them. But they couldn't receive it because they were stuck in their heads instead of experiencing the life of God and believing who he was. So when she touched him, he turned and asked everyone. Everybody denied they did it. And finally, she confessed. Yes? And God was so blessed because she admitted that she did it. No, that's not why he was blessed. Because she had faith. She went against all odds in the face of public ridicule, against the law of that time, to receive what she knew was available for her. So let me ask you, how important was it to her to receive her healing? Paramount. It was the one overarching, all-important thing in her life. Yes? So she had a point of faith. She had a point of contact, a point of belief where she heard something and she believed it and then she acted on it. Yes? So, how about the centurion? You guys know the story of him. Okay? He wasn't even a follower of Jesus. He was a soldier who was over 100 men. But he had a daughter. Was it a daughter or a servant? Servant. And the servant needed to be healed. So what is it this centurion had that allowed him to approach Jesus the way he did? Huh? She says faith. What kind of faith? I want you to see these different kinds of faith that are available for us. So he had faith, but what? So she heard that everybody was getting healed if they touched him. And she believed it. What is it that he knew? The authority. In his world, he knew authority. He knew that he had power, that he was subject to those that were over him, and those that were under him were subject to him. He obeyed those that were over him, and he knew they obeyed who were under him. Yes? And so he took that and overlaid it on his experience with Jesus. Just like she took her experience and overlaid it on Jesus. And he walked up and he told him, "You just say the word and my servant will be healed." right? Point of contact, because he knew something. And because he knew it, he acted on it, and it happened. And Jesus marveled, said, "Great is your faith." Yes or no? Yes. So the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus was amazed at her faith. He had faith that just was phenomenal. Start thinking now. What is it you know about God that you have as your contact point? How about the Gentile woman who was there to receive from the Lord? But she was a Gentile, and Jesus says that, no, I have come to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. You guys know the story? So then she keeps coming to him, and for lack of a better term, pressing him and haranguing him to give her what she needed. She wasn't even entitled to it. Listen, she was not entitled to it. But she knew something. And because she knew something about God, she used it. And she knew that God was good. She knew it. And she saw it. And she believed it. And so he said, "Hey, the children's bread are not for the little dogs." She even had a class difference to them. And she was so smart. She was so wise. She was so determined to get something from God that she rose up against him and said, "No, even the little dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Man, her faith, that she stood right there in the face of Jesus and still insisted on getting what she wanted, tapped right into the goodness of God and the heart of God. And he says, "Great is your faith." And she got what she asked for. Yes? Yes. None of those people waited for it to drop in their lap. None of them were waiting for God to find them and do it for them. But does God do it that way? He does sometimes. Julie's testimony was that she had a need. The Lord loves her so much, he even told her what to ask for, didn't he? And then she worked it out over a period of time and received the end of her faith. So where are you at in this? Where are you at? David. You know the story of David and Goliath? Yes? It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, in case you guys want to look it up. I'm just saving all these scriptures so that we can just have a conversation. I want to point out a perspective. So David, he was a shepherd, yes? He hung out around sheep. How demanding are sheep? Not very. So he had a lot of time on his hands hanging out with the animals. So he played music, right? He'd play music, and he'd get his slingshot out, and he'd hurl rocks, you know, knocking things off of the walls and just practicing, shooting at birds or whatever with his sling. And he got good with his sling, and he got good in the fellowship of God, and he had a heart after God. He just loved God. And he spent a lot of time with God and getting to know God. And as he was taking care of his responsibilities, he was so devoted to what he was supposed to be doing that he didn't even recognize the gift of God that was upon him himself. And when the prophet went to his family to say who would be this king and anoint them, David wasn't even in the realm of consideration. But God knew something about David that David didn't even know about himself. He had a character about him that he would be so sensitive towards the needs of God that if David was convicted of sin, he quickly would repent. He wouldn't hang out there. He wouldn't justify himself. He wouldn't tell God why he did it. He stopped and he got before God on his face. Yes? And so he had these sheep that he was so fond of and protecting that when the lion came, he went after that lion. When the bear came, he went after that bear, right? And so when this Goliath comes, this giant comes, regular people were terrified of the giant. Regular people were just terrified of him. Some people are terrified if you say AIDS or cancer or COVID or whatever the case may be, these giants that they hear their names and people just tremble in their boots. Because for regular people, it is a huge adversary standing there. And not only is it a huge adversary, Goliath taunted them. Really taunted them. And as he was taunting them every day for weeks and weeks, just robbing them of their strength, regular people were afraid of him. Even so much as the king didn't know what to do. When David came onto the scene, though, he had a different spirit about himself. Yes? He spent a lot of alone time with the Spirit of God and the presence of God, watching over his sheep. And he has victories under his belt that he knew that God would be with him and empower him against his enemies. He had a real relationship with God. Yes? So then when David saw the Philistine, Goliath, taunting them, David knew, I have a covenant with God. We are God's chosen people. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine, this guy with no contract with God, telling us what he's going to do? My God's way bigger than any giant. And my God is with me, and we're going to do this thing. And he confessed. He confessed that he can do it to the king, and the king, we should probably look at some of these verses I can see. Go ahead and go to 1 Samuel 17. And just go to the chapter of 1 Samuel 17. And David said in verse 32, he said, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David said, don't let all these guys' heart fail them anymore. I'm going to go after this guy. David had a confidence that other people didn't have. Yes? And as he went after this guy, he served. And then he went down to, let's look at verse 38. So finally he convinced Saul that he can do this and he can pull it off. So Saul clothed David with his armor and he put a bronze helmet on his head and he clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. Stop for a second. As you move forward in going after those things that stand between you and your victory, whatever you're believing God for, other people are going to try to tell you how to do it. They are. And they're doing it with good intentions. But they're not fighting the giant. You are. Whatever he is. And so even though they give you what they use when they go into their battles, you have to use what works for you. That's important. What works for you? Where have you gotten results from in the past? That's what works for you. So then he says, and David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag in the pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Jump down to 45. Then David said to the Philistine, this is Goliath, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord hosts. God, the name of the Lord host, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. So how was he approaching this guy? In the name of the Lord. Not in his own name, not in his own strength, not just with him and his own personal weapons. He came with the Lord, speaking for the Lord in this circumstance. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. He spoke it. And I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. 47. Then all his assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Is that confidence? That's boldness. That's not looking with what the rest of the army was looking at, where they were all by themselves, victim of this giant. He knew God, and he was going to take God's perspective on this. And so it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistines in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David said it and then he did it. Just like the woman with the issue of blood who said it and then she did it. Are you with me? So I wrote here in my Bible, David did what he said. David did what he said. I also wrote in another part when I first started reading, I wrote in my Bible, don't fight other people's way. Fight your way to win. So again, the woman with the issue of blood figured out a way to get what she needed. She heard some things that fit into place for her. And she decided, I'm going to go after this and do it. The centurion saw, he recognized authority, and so he knew Jesus on that level, and that's what he used to understand who Jesus was. Each one of us, how do you know the Lord? What's your relationship with him like? What are the aspects of God that you've really connected with? That's where you need to get your healing from, where you need to get your whatever you're believing God for, your deliverance, your prosperity, whatever you're believing God for. There's no one size that fits all. There just isn't. But there is a truth. If you say it, if you do it, if you receive it, and then tell it. That pattern works for God. So what is it you can say, really, that you can say? Not what people are telling you to say. It's just you and God. What do you want? What do you believe in him for? What is it you need? What are you skilled at? Where is your area that you're really familiar with God? Where's your area that you got a real close relationship, that you see the way he operates, you know the way he is? Go in that venue. What victories have you gotten in the past? Where have you seen him come through for you in the past? Those are your tools, your weapon, your sling. What scriptures do you have? Those are your five stones. Those are the things that the woman held in her heart when she went against all odds. She knew the stories were true. She knew what she had heard was true. And she knew that if he would do it for them, he would do it for her. What did the Gentile woman know? She knew God's goodness. And she knew that if I persisted, I could get what I want from him. And she went after what she wasn't even entitled to and got it because of her faith towards God. What is your faith towards God? What has he said that you believe? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the word that came from the mouth of God to you. Are you with me? Pretty exciting stuff. So, Proverbs 6:2. You want to go look at that real quick? There's a nice little verse in there that's very true for everybody. So I want to let you, let me just get there first real quick. Proverbs 6:2. Some of you have already read it up there on the screen before I even get to set you up for what I want to say. You guys are fast. So let's just read it then. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. What does that mean? There's a place in Matthew it says that by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. Isn't that exciting stuff? That is really exciting stuff. That means you have the power. Truly, you have it. How are you using it? Because by your words is how you're bound, and by your words is how you're going to receive what you want. So what do you say in your heart? That woman said in her heart that if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. There's another place in Proverbs that says, I will give you the fruit of your lips. What is it you say? And so, you know, it really gets down to, like I said before, I have watched friends die in front of me thinking they were believing God. I have talked to so many people in my life, even family members, who do not understand that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And they are so hard trying to have a good life, trying and wondering why people keep hurting them over and over and over again, why people do these terrible things, and they can't reconcile it because they are inside the mess themselves. And it's their perspective, it's the way they're seeing it, that's their trouble. Not who they are in the spirit. Because when you realize who you are in the spirit, who we are in the spirit, we are above these circumstances. And we have the power to speak into this realm and have the words that we say come to pass. David believed his mouth when he was saying that he was going to take this guy out, chop off his head, and feed his carcass to the birds. David meant what he said. He wasn't trying to get God to back him up. He already knew God was with him. He meant what he was saying. That woman, she was convinced that if she touches the hem of his garment, the Gentile woman, she was determined to get what she needed from God. It was too important to her to not get it. The centurion, he absolutely understood how these things work because of the way he was raised. And he went in. None of them were second guessing themselves. None of them were. None of them were wondering whether or not that they could have it. They were determined to get it. There's no limit to what you can get from God. Absolutely none. Except what you impose upon yourselves by what you compare yourself to and what you're willing to accept as truth. That's it. You can go as far in God as you believe God for. Not apart from Him, with Him. Are you with me? So what are you believing God for? Are you waiting for somebody else to believe God and not you so that you can get something that somebody else can believe for? Have them do the work. Have them build the relationship. Have God's favor on them because it's not on me. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's on you. Just are you willing to really assess your circumstances and go after it? There's another parable in the Bible about a man who had a friend that was coming to visit him. You guys know the parable? About he'd had no food. It was midnight. And he had no food. And his friend was coming, and he knew he'd been riding for a long time, or walking, whatever their transportation was. And he knew he'd be hungry when he got there. So what this guy did was he goes to his neighbor's house and starts banging on the door of his friend. And his friend says, get out of here. Me and the kids, we're in bed already. I'm not going to get up and wake up all the kids so that I can come bring you some bread. I guess in those days, the walls were pretty thin. He didn't have to yell. But the guy kept banging and banging and knocking and banging and banging and knocking. What does that mean? What does that mean? Persistence. Why? Because he was determined. He knew his neighbor and friend had what he needed. He knew he had it. And so he, not because he was his friend that he got up to give him the bread that he needed, but because he knew the guy wouldn't stop. Right? The unrighteous judge, another story in the Bible. Woman comes, getting in the face of the judge. You need to give me what I want. You need to give me what I'm petitioning you for. You got to give it to me. You got to give it to me. And the judge was evil. He wasn't even a kind guy. He doesn't do good things for people. But in this example, because she was such a nuisance, she's driving the guy crazy every day, getting in his face about it. He gave her all that she asked for just to get her out of here because she was such a pain. God's not like that, but he does approve of people that know what they need to get from him. And he promises he will withhold no good thing from us. He promises it. So we have to really purpose in our heart to get what we need from God. Whatever it is. The only thing that blocks it is unbelief. Is you have some set of rules or experiences that you're clinging to. Let them go. Let them go. And just as the Holy Spirit leads you and shows you and your areas of knowledge with God where you have real experience with God, flow down the easy channels first. That's where you can see your fastest results, right? So I'll just say this to end it all. Is that I have my experiences with God, and I've told you a lot of my stories. And I'll tell you, the only reason I have those stories is because I purpose in my heart to get them. I go, I don't care what any of y'all or anybody else is doing. I need these things. I need these words from God. I need these teachings from him. I need what I go after. And I will get them because you know what? He promised me they're available for me. And I will go after them. Is life easy? No, it is not. Do I have huge relationship issues? Yes, I do. Do I get all twisted up with some people? Yes, I do. Am I perfect? No. Do I have flaws? Huge ones. Do I hate that I have them? Yes. Do I wish they were gone? Absolutely. Am I working on them every day? But I keep moving forward because none of that stuff has anything to do with whether I can receive from God or not. When I receive from God is because I've purposed in my heart that I will not be denied. And I get it. And as each one of you purposes in your heart what you need from the Lord, you can have it. Get your verses, get your prayer language, get your friends, whatever your armor is that works for you, and use it. Amen? Was this an encouragement today? Okay, I was trying to encourage you and give you enough examples because, as I said before, I've watched so many people die, and they don't need to. So go after God now and find your way in to get your answer because it is not a no. Amen? So let me pray. Father, I just thank you for everybody here today. I thank you for your word and all the examples that you've given to us of people with faith that have gotten what they have said and gone after, Lord. And Father, I ask that you'd quicken our hearts and our minds, Father, that we would see some areas that we're believing you for and find our way in to receive the end of our faith because you are good and you want to bestow every good and perfect gift upon us, Father. But we have to pursue it. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.